Okay, 468 is our other remaining item this afternoon, also a transportation matter.
Establish a heavy vehicle use tax to fund Portland's street repair and traffic safety program.
Commissioner Novick.
Mayor and colleagues, I'm pleased today to present the City Council an ordinance that will establish a heavy vehicle use tax. Over the past few months, city staff from Transportation and the Revenue Office have worked with the Subcommittee of Freight Interest to develop a funding mechanisms that trucks to ensure that heavy trucks pay for their impact on Portland streets. The ordinance before us today would create a heavy vehicle use tax that applies to businesses that A, have a Portland business license, and B, pay Oregon's weight mile tax. A tax of 2.8% on the amount businesses pay in the state weight mile taxes is estimated to generate $2.5 million. And as you've heard before, $2.5 million is what is necessary for the trucks to pay what, according to EcoNorthwest analysis of the state apportionment formula between heavy trucks and other vehicles as revised for local conditions, we think that that would represent 13% of the total raise by a combination of this and the gas tax. So we think that they should pay a 13% share. $2.5 million would be a 13% share. As you will hear from staff, we considered a number of options, including a diesel load fee and a fee based on a combination of the number of registered heavy vehicles and the business license tax before we identified the current proposal. Although no revenue collection mechanism is perfect, I believe that the proposal included in this ordinance is the best approach available. I'd like to clarify a couple of specific points based on some recent feedback from the working group. One, it is not the intent of this ordinance to apply this tax to businesses whose only tie to Portland is that their heavy trucks are passing through or stopping for fuel in Portland. They would need to be conducting some sort of business in Portland in order for this tax to be due. In other words, they would need to otherwise be subject to the city business license tax. Two, it does appear possible that there might be some businesses that have pay the Portland business license tax and pay the weight mile tax, but their trucks spend a minimal or no amount of time on Portland streets. We, of course, have no way of knowing exactly how much time any given vehicle is spending on Portland. We can't tell how much time all vehicles are spending on Portland streets, so we think it's impractical to have a local weight mile tax, you know, as the state does. However, if a company can prove that they have minimal interaction with Portland streets, I think that it would be wise to create an appeal process. This ordinance does not do that on its face, but I would like to direct the Revenue Division to consider the creation of an administrative rule to provide an alternate calculation for taxpayers that only do a tiny percentage of their Oregon driving in Portland. Want to address a couple of other arguments that I expect that we will hear made, and I want to address them up front. One is, I think that it is very important for us to pass this legislation immediately. The Fuel Dealers Association, which is opposing the gas tax, is using as their primary argument against the gas tax the fact that it exempts heavy trucks. I think that before Portlanders vote, it's very important for us to let Portland voters know that we are not letting heavy trucks off the hook. There's also been a suggestion that we should say that this tax should only take effect if the gas tax passes. I disagree with that because I think that it's reasonable, no matter what anybody else is paying, I think it's reasonable for the heavy trucks that impose wear and tear on our roads to pay for some of that wear and tear. But I also think that it's worth noting that the Trucking Association is already opposing the gas tax, and linking the two would give them an extra incentive to fight harder against the gas tax. And I have no particular enthusiasm for giving opponents of the gas tax an extra incentive to fight harder and raise more money. So I know those issues will come up. I wanted to address them up front. And now I will turn it over to Director Treat.
Thank you again, Commissioner Novick, Mayor, Council members. The ordinance before you today is going to provide some very critical funding for street repair and safety improvement within the city. I would like to take the opportunity to personally thank the Freight Committee community and Freight Committee for their ongoing commitment to street repair and safety. And as Commissioner Novick noted, you're likely to hear from some people today that they have concerns about the specific proposal, but I do believe that their participation, along with staff from PBOT and the Revenue Office, has resulted in a stronger and fairer proposal that you will be considering. I'm going to turn it over to Ken Lee and Mark Lear to walk through a presentation, and then go from there. Thank you.
Mark Lear, I manage the Resources and Legislative Group inside Transportation. Ken and I are going to give a quick overview of the presentation, building off of the work session that we had a few weeks ago. The first question that comes up is, why is Portland considering the adoption of a temporary heavy vehicle use tax? And it really came out of conversations that we started to have with the freight community as we were looking for a local revenue source. We thought that it makes sense, building off of Oregon's cost responsibility and cost allocation models, to make sure that trucks were paying their fair share. But one of the first things that was identified to us, if you want to go to the next slide, Ken, by the trucking industry, is that right now we really have one truck stop in the city of Portland, Jubitz. And with truck semi-trucks having fuel tanks that can be 120 to 300 gallons, it would be much easier, or thought to be more likely to happen, that trucks would be bypassing that truck stop. We would be losing the revenue. We wouldn't be having that cost-responsible contribution. So the trucking industry, freight community, asked us to look for other options. Council directed us when we put together, when we moved forward with the local measure, sending that to the voters, the gas tax, to do this work. The first thing that the group really dug into was digging into what would that fair share for Portland be. We know that statewide cost responsibility has trucks paying about a third of all the revenues for transportation improvements on the roadway network. And so we wanted to see what the local piece was. We brought in Carl Batten from Eco Northwest, who does that analysis for the state as part of cost responsibility. And this table that's in front of you highlights, one, the conclusion that that group came to. I think there was general agreement amongst the committee on this, that when you think about what a city's share of cost responsibility would be for something like a local measure, like the local gas tax, that 13.3% is a better number than about a third at the state level. It's largely driven by the amount of miles that are driven on the local network and some of the costs associated with that compared to statewide. So if we took the amount of revenue we're estimating, if the local gas tax passes that $16 million a year and made that 86.7% of the total, you can see that the heavy vehicle fair share would be about $2.5 million or 13.3%. Looking forward 4 years, $64 million generated by lighter vehicles, and $10 million or 13.3% of that $74 million total. With that, I'll turn it over to Ken to talk a little bit more about the specific proposal that's in front of us today.
Thank you. Ken Lee, Portland Bureau of Transportation. So Mark talked about how much this heavy trucks would contribute to the heavy vehicle use tax. Now we're going to talk about who's going to pay. Basically, what we did is we took the state weight mile tax database and we cross-referenced that with the business license tax database to see who businesses that currently pay both the weight mile tax and have a heavy truck. And we, from that cross-reference, we found that there's roughly about 2,500 businesses that meet that criteria, and that's who we found to be subject to this heavy vehicle use tax. In the parentheses here, or not parentheses, in the italics here, it says, since businesses that deliver a product by truck to a Portland address are required to have a Portland business license, the heavy vehicle use tax will be applied to businesses based in Portland and to businesses that ship to Portland addresses. So again, we're not intending to apply this tax to those businesses that have trucks that are just driving through the city and stopping for gas and the like. On slide 6, how will the tax be calculated? Basically, the tax will be calculated on a company's statewide weight mile taxes paid. From our estimates, we believe a rate of 2.8% will be able to generate the $2.5 million target per year. Slide 7. How much will most businesses pay under this proposal? So we took a look at this in some detail, and we're finding that the majority, like 85% roughly, of businesses will pay an average of about $15 per month. And so most of the businesses will not be significantly impacted. However, there'll be a smaller number of businesses that actually have a much higher trucking activity from a statewide perspective. They'll pay a higher monthly tax, and this roughly is about $500 per month for about 15% of these businesses. How will the program change if revenue forecasts are lower or higher than anticipated? So right now the target is $2.5 million. If we are significantly higher or significantly lower, we'll be reviewing this with the revenue division in terms of should we be able to adjust the rate, and we will adjust the rate accordingly to generate the $2.5 million per year goal over the four-year period so we can come close to the targeted amount. And with that, on slide nine, basically, this is kind of going through back to the work session. It's kind of walking us through how we actually got to this option. There's about four feasibility factors that we looked at. And if you recall, we looked at the diesel load fee first. The biggest concern here was, in the fairness of who pays. If you recall, we have nine Portland terminals that truck distributors will come in and load up on diesel. And they will then transport it to various places, including gas stations. Part of the concern was that not all of this diesel would actually be delivered within the Portland city area. And it a lot of it would actually go outside the Portland area. And so from that standpoint, there was a pretty big concern on that. From there, we kind of moved to the business license tax surcharge based on the number of vehicles. When we took a look at the data, based on the match that we did with the Oregon State Weight Mile Tax database, we found that there was some other fairness issues in terms of there's businesses that actually have a lot of trucks, but they really didn't, they really didn't have trucking as their main activity, and so that's not where their net income was derived, their gross sales was derived. So there's some fairness issues on that account, which kind of led us into the heavy vehicle use tax. Based on a state weight mile tax paid, which is more reflective of how much the trucks actually use the actual street system. And with that, I'll turn over to Mark Lear.
Just two more slides. I want to just talk a little bit about how we'd administer the program to make sure that we efficiently meet the goals of the program and have proper oversight. One thing that we're doing with this ordinance is that we're creating basically the same structure for oversight, the oversight committee, the annual reporting, a four-year program that we have in the local gas tax measure. So if the local gas tax measure were not to move forward, we would still have the same creation of a street repair and safety program and those other requirements to make sure that we're able to effectively manage the program. If the local gas tax measure passes, obviously those will be the same groups working on this combined income. Again, the things that we really highlight and seemed to be important to the committee is one, that dedicated resources to safety and repair is a common refrain that we heard from that committee. The role of an oversight committee, the freight community also recommended that we make sure that we're checking in on a regular basis with the freight committee as well as any oversight committee that we would have as we talk about future projects. That seems to make sense. In addition to that, we will have annual reporting and a four-year program with specific goals and objectives that we're trying to achieve. The last slide is just a quick update of what the next steps would be. If this effort moves forward, we think that revenue collection could begin no sooner than September 2016. We'd work to form the oversight committee sort of as soon as possible. We've also set up a process where the Revenue Bureau, after one full year of tax collection, can start to look to see whether we are generating more revenue than we'd anticipated, and if that's the case, so we could adjust the rate to make sure that we are keeping that 13.3%. And finally, we'll begin that process of establishing the program and those reporting requirements that come with it. Thank you.
Can you go back to the very first PowerPoint slide? So, yeah, I guess, I am the one who has proposed the idea that this be contingent upon passage of the local 10-cent temporary fuels tax. And I guess I'm struck by the text here. It says a heavy vehicle tax ensures that heavy trucks pay their corresponding fair share in relation to a potential 10-cent temporary fuels tax. Now, I hope the fuels tax passes, but if the fuels tax turns out to not pass, that is zero. So shouldn't the local freight share also be zero? In other words, as much as I hate to relish the thought, shouldn't we have to go back to the drawing board on the whole issue of how we pay for road repairs and safety improvements? And I realize I understand your political calculation, Steve, that this gives them even more impetus to oppose it. But I guess to me it's just a fundamental question of fairness. And I always thought the efforts here to come up with a corresponding fair share for freight movement was always contingent as part and parcel of a package to tax regular motorists like ourselves. So I guess I'm just hung up on that.
Well, Commissioner, first of all, I would remind you that even if the fuel tax passes and this passes, still none of us will be paying what is actually necessary to repair the streets and address our safety issues. These taxes combined would address a fraction of our street repair and traffic safety needs. And the trucks would be asked to pay a fraction of what they would pay if we were really trying to address all of our street repair and traffic safety needs. So I do not think that $2.5 million a year as a contribution from the heavy trucks is unfair under any circumstances. But I also think that it's important to note the extremely cynical game that is being played by Paul Romain and the Trucking Association, where Paul Romain's lead argument against the gas tax is that it left the heavy trucks off the hook, and the Trucking Association is contributing to Paul Romain's campaign, basically paying him to argue we're letting heavy trucks off the hook. In that context, to say we will give you an extra incentive to oppose the gas tax by saying that one is contingent on the other, I think would be giving in to extremely cynical politics, and I don't think that's appropriate. And also, it's important to note that if the gas tax fails, the problem will not go away, and I fully intend to bring forward another mechanism by which Portlanders will be asked to pay to fix the roads. And assuming that Mr. Romain's polling is correct, Portlanders are going to want to hear that heavy trucks are paying their fair share. And if we've already passed a heavy tax on the heavy trucks, then we'll be able to tell them, yes, they already are.
Okay, other questions? Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you have any other invited testimony or panels to call, Steve?
I believe that we're hoping to get Robert McCullough here.
He's here.
Where is he? Oh, there you are. And Noel Mookaberry of Oregon Walks and P.O. Welch, the co-chair of the Portland Freight Committee.
Okay, come on up, please.
I'm such a stranger to this room.
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
Don't be nervous.
Yeah, right.
Thank you very much. Commissioner, am I first, second, or third?
I believe you're first.
Thank you very much. Robert McCullough, representing Southeast Uplift. I had the honor of sitting in the subcommittee. It was very interesting. It's rare these days I get to talk about something I'm actually an expert on. And this is what I do for a living. I've testified on fuel costs and oil prices at the U.S. Congress, federal court, state courts, regulatory commissions. Bottom line is we were paying twice as much 2 years ago. The question is, how are we going to spend that dividend? At the same time, vehicle traffic on our roads went up 3% last year. Gasoline use went up 4%. So we have more need than ever to have a working system. This is the freight hub of the Northwest. We are where two railroads meet, two superhighways meet, two rivers meet. As I drove here, I crossed the Holgate Bridge. I passed two bobtails going to pick up loads and two heavy trucks dropping off loads. That was one trip. I was probably the only car on the bridge, but I had four heavy trucks in evidence. In this case, we have a pretty simple calculation. The equity issue is not perfect, but it's about as fair as we're going to get. There is no perfect answer to the equity question. Frankly, I would ask for higher taxes for both automobiles and trucks simply because we have a big problem in front of us. In this case, we're using the Portland license tax. That's about as fair as we can get. We do not have a count on trucks. We do not know where the trucks are. We do know that there is a highly successful tax at the state level. And so we're leveraging off of that. So given that a perfect answer is impossible, what we have here is a practical answer. And then let me just talk for a moment or two to the political question. Why does Southeast Uplift care about trucks? Well, number one, trucking, freight is one of our major employers. This is something we care about as a business matter, as an employment matter. But the fact of the matter is we're not going to get voters to vote for a gas tax if they believe a large component of the problem, according to our numbers, 40% of the fuel use is exempted. It's important that everyone pays. And if we're going to start getting roads repaired, which we have to if we're going to maintain employment and maintain our role as a transportation hub, then we actually have to make sure everyone has a little money in the gate. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Who'd like to be next? Just swing that microphone over towards you.
Okay. Well, first off, I want to say thank you to Commissioner Novick and Mark Lear and Ken Lee and Shoshona and Alicia for all the time that they have spent with us. We've had a subcommittee.
Oh, and put your name
Portland.
In the record, please.
I'm sorry. Pia Welch, Chair of the Portland Freight Committee. I'm here on behalf of the Portland Freight Committee, not my employer. So I wanted to thank everyone for the time that we've spent in very engaging meetings, talking about taxes, which is not anyone's favorite subject matter and is not an easy issue. Currently, trucks already pay for the wear and tear on roads, and that's the weight and mile tax. And we've gone through quite a few different iterations to come up with what would be a good mechanism, what would also be a good mechanism that wouldn't cost 100 FTEs to collect the money. And that was one of the things. Some of these mechanisms would only cost an FTE to collect the money. So, and I'm very happy to hear that there's going to be an appeals process, because there are businesses that are based in Portland that maybe travel 3/4 of a mile and then get on a highway. So if there could be some sort of, that really needs to be established to help those businesses, especially the smaller ones that aren't on the city roads a lot. So an appeals process, glad to hear that that's going to be incorporated. We stress an independent oversight committee. And, of course, we would like the revenue from the heavy vehicles to be used to leverage transportation maintenance and safety improvements with an emphasis on freight-related projects. Recently, we had a presentation that showed some of the worst streets in the city are actually in industrial and freight areas. And I work in an industrial area, and I can tell you there are a lot of potholes to get to work. The other concern is that the vehicle road capacity, when this repaving is done, is maintained, that we don't lose, there's a measurement of what we need to make good turns for school bus, emergency vehicle. A lot of times when projects come to us, that's sliced beyond what is a recommended measurement. We ask that capacity in those lanes be kept in place and not shortened. So while we would prefer to have no tax, we realize this is a difficult discussion. Our committee monthly meeting is tomorrow, so we'll be discussing further which tax mechanism we prefer. But those are the suggested items that we have. The biggest thing is we like to continue this conversation because we think this is just a short-term measure, and we like to see some long-term measures go into place, looking at the additional funding from the state or changing perhaps the percentage that the cities get from the state for off the heavy vehicle mile tax. I know it's not politically correct to say this, but buses rip up the roads more than trucks do. So I know no one wants to talk to TriMet about it, but there's that, and there's also studded tires that we could look at, and there's a list of some other things that we brought up with oversized trucks that could be additional revenue generators. Again, this is not an easy subject, and we appreciate everyone's time and effort in this endeavor. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for hearing from me twice today. My name is Noelle. I'm the executive director of Oregon Walks, and I'm here as well to testify in support of passing the heavy vehicle use tax as a mechanism to fund the maintenance and safety of our streets. Oregon Walks has been involved in the quest to find funding to fix our streets for a couple years now, and we really believe it's imperative that more dollars go towards our roads with a focus on safety for all users, and we really want to see an equitable and a comprehensive solution. There's unfortunately no silver bullet for transportation funding, and I think we all, though, agree that something needs to be done. with a modest investment by the heaviest vehicles that rely on and benefit from and also put damage on our roads every day, it shows a commitment to the ongoing livability of our city that is the reason why we are in such a growth boom right now. If we continue to neglect our streets, it means an even more expensive and complicated solution down the road. It also means that more lives will be lost from preventable crashes. This is not the type of future that I think we all want to see for Portland. We support this proposal, and we feel it's a responsible way to ensure that all business that benefits from our roadway network helps to support the sustainability and quality of life for all of our residents. We're pleased to see the same safety and maintenance breakdown as the proposed gas tax, as well as the oversight to ensure that there is transparency and accountability on how this money is spent. As a member of the city's Vision Zero Task Force, we really believe it's necessary to secure funding to ensure that this goal and also the strong tactics that are being developed are actually implemented. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Commissioner Novick, could you remind me about the point about TriMet? Why doesn't is TriMet going to pay this?
No, it is not.
And why can we make them?
That they're generally exempt from state taxes. And I think that the question, but the policy question is, given as you've noted yourself frequently, that users of buses, I mean, that we don't want to put too much of a burden on poor people who are reliant on transit. Forcing TriMet to pay more would force them to raise their fares. And we need to make a we could have a talk about that, but I kind of assume that you in particular actually would not be in favor of taking an action that would make TriMet raise their fares.
Well, as you know, I want to find a mechanism so that TriMet doesn't charge fares, so that we pay for it by a different mechanism. But what I'm taking from your comments is that, yes, you're open to her continuing conversation on that issue and that it can be taken up. It has to be taken up separately. They're not subject to this wait mile.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, any other invited testimony?
I think that's it.
Okay, then let's go to the sign-up sheet, please.
We have 18 people signed up.
Okay.
The first three, please come on up, are Buck Cullen now, Daniel Kling, and is Crystal still here?
I think given the number of people, if you could try to keep your comments to 2 minutes, that'd be very helpful.
And let's go with Jaina Jarvis.
Good afternoon. Whoever would like to go first?
That's fine. Sure. My name is Buck Kleknen, and I'm the owner of TP Freight Lines in Portland. I appreciate the opportunity here, Commissioner and Mayor. And to give you a little background, my company is family-owned. I have been in the company now for 42 years. It's going on 94 years old. This is really important to us. When I looked at how the rates were on a wait mile, how they came up with that, I was kind of concerned because, in my case, my corporate is in Tillamook, Oregon. It's a small community, about 4,000 people, and a small county too. We have seven locations outside of Portland. The furthest being would be Medford and Klamath Falls, Eugene, North Bend, Brookings. And my problem with the way the rates were set up using the fuel surcharge or the mileage rate that we use is the fact that that rate doesn't include really much of the Portland rate. The Portland rate is small to how much our trucks are there. Our trucks are also in Astoria, Tillamook, and Lincoln City. And so the mileage that these rates were taken from, actually it shows the total rate of miles for all those places together. It didn't take the Portland outside of those rates. And that has me concerned because also, when the trucks are used in the Portland area, it's to pick up the freight in smaller trucks, 28-foot trailers, bring it to our dock, and then put it in triple trailers at night that go to all those places I mentioned. The thing is, as it leaves Portland, maybe 10 miles of that was Portland-driven. And the weight mile tax was used, how they came up with that was by the weight of those triple trailers over 105 feet long. And so when you take that 2.8%, right now my cost to the city of Portland is $6,600. That would be the new rate going in effect if this goes in effect a year.
Do your trucks have GPSs in them? So if we could be a way to find out how much they were in Portland?
They don't have GPSs. We have cell phones that we tell, and the mileage we show on them is from the time they leave Portland until they go to destination and return.
Thank you.
Sure.
And so did you say that your calculation shows that the cost to your company would be $6,600 a year from this local surcharge?
That's correct.
So that means, sir, that you pay $235,714 a year in state weight mile tax?
What it means is last year we paid $236,499 in weight mile tax. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Janet Jarvis, here today on behalf of the Oregon Trucking Association. I have been before you to talk about these proposals before. I'm going to leave you with some written testimony that has a little more detail. In the interest of time, I'll just highlight a few of these points. And I also want you to know that I'm bringing some testimony to you from a number of members around the state who were not able to be here today, although there are several of our members here today as it is. I think the biggest point we want to make to you is that we understand that Portland has issues with their roads, and we are interested in helping Portland with that. And our objection to the gas tax and to these proposals is based on our concern about the ability to get a transportation package. That may be a different perspective, but that is our perspective. So with that in mind, let me tell you how I'm concerned. If you move forward with this, this is probably the least fair of the proposals we've looked at. If this ordinance passes, if the gas tax doesn't pass on May 17th, the talk has been all about equity. So it doesn't make sense to move this forward if the gas tax doesn't move forward. Light vehicles are responsible for 87%, according to the commissioner's calculations, of the use of Portland City roads, and heavy trucks are 13% of that. So if you want to talk about equity, we need to highlight that. We also talked about, and I was glad that the commissioner mentioned an appeals process. That's extremely important for us because there are a number of situations where that would be very important to my members. And I think lastly, I want to mention that, you know, there was discussion about a surcharge on the business license tax, and that would have affected private carriers adversely. And for that reason, the committee backed off of that. But a great percentage of my members are for-hire carriers. And a surcharge on the business license tax would be a much fairer proposition. So if you offered both options, that would probably be the best way to address that within the trucking industry. I do want to let you know that I'm interested in working with you, and I thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much. Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Daniel Kling. I'm here representing Redaway Trucking. We're a less-than-truckload freight carrier based in Tualatin, Oregon. Founded in 1919 in Oregon City, I believe we're the oldest trucking company that is based here in the state of Oregon. We employ about 3,000 people across the West Coast, 500 of which belong here in the state of Oregon. I'm here because I think we clearly understand that there's a need to repair the roads in the city of Portland. The issue at hand is, how do we do that in a fair and equitable way? And as I have read through the ordinance, and forgive me, I was just made aware of this ordinance on Monday, so I'm trying to get up to speed as fast as I can. But as I look through this, it is not a fair or equitable way to fund the repair of Portland City streets. For example, for a company like Redaway, and I'm going to use some rough numbers here, we could say do approximately 10 million miles in the state of Oregon. 500,000 of those miles would be potentially in the city of Portland, so 5% of the total miles in the city. You could have another company that does 1 million miles a year, all of those miles in the city of Portland. they would pay one-tenth the amount that Right-Away would pay, yet use or consume, if you will, two times the resource in terms of usage of Portland City streets. To me, that's not equitable. The other concern I have, which I heard that there was mention of an appeals process, which I think that makes a lot of sense. My concern is that the appeals process is not defined, it's not outlined, and it's not part of this ordinance. The other issue I have, and I have to disagree with comments that were made earlier, is around the, what was that? It was around the fact that you could have the, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting here what he had mentioned there. It was...
Let me ask a question. You might provoke the memory. So understand the critique about this not being equitable. Mr. McAuliffe said at the outset, you know, there's no such thing as perfect equity in,
sure,
in taxation. He thought this was pretty close. Have you got some suggestions for how we could get closer to equity than this model of revenue collection would get us? I mean, it's a common problem in taxation. You know, I don't have kids in school anymore, but I pay school taxes. That's not very equitable, but it's how it works. So how do we get there to how do we get closer to there from here?
Well, to be honest, having only heard about this since Monday, I haven't had an opportunity to give that a lot of thought. I do agree with what Jana here had mentioned earlier around perhaps looking at giving companies options of either or. And again, I am concerned that there's not an appeals process in here. I did recall one of the other items that I did have a concern with, and that's around the fair share. So we talked earlier about fair share of trucking versus public. And I still don't understand how you would not want to have the two tied together. It does not seem fair or equitable to say that, hey, I'm willing to pass this ordinance without having another ordinance passed that would fairly tax the general public for the use of the roads. So then you would end up with only taxing one entity, which I can't remember what the percentages were, 13 or 20, yeah, 13%, which really isn't going to address the issue at all anyways. And my concern would be that funding may not go towards, I guess there's no outline here, that funding would go 100% towards road repair, which is the whole premise on which we're talking here in terms of taxing the trucking industry.
May I ask you a question? Ms. Jarvis,
yes,
is opposed to both the gas tax and any truck tax, so she believes the appropriate contribution of heavy trucks to any local mechanism for addressing our streets is zero. What do you think the appropriate contribution of heavy trucks to fixing Portland Street should be?
I'll defer that to Ms.
I'd like to answer that question, if I might, Commissioner. I don't think that my message ever has been that the appropriate contribution is zero. What I should have mentioned in my testimony is that Oregon's weight mile tax is the most expensive form of taxation in the nation for the trucking industry. So for companies that operate in all other states, it is more expensive to operate in Oregon than in any other state. So they are already contributing a great deal to the roads.
Right. That's, of course, a consequence of our state tax system.
It is what it is.
And we are having this conversation because I was talking about Ronald Reagan earlier. At the end of the Reagan era, Oregonians passed Measure 5. The local newspaper here at the time argued that we should do that so we would have a sales tax. How's that worked out? We don't have one. They just passed a 0.4-cent sales tax in Phoenix that will pay for $31 billion worth of transportation improvements there. San Diego just sent a 0.5-cent sales tax to the voters that will pay for $18 billion worth of transportation improvements there. This is Oregon. We're cussedly resistant to an easy tax that would pay for these things, so we have to do it in less generalized ways than they do in other states. That's unfortunate, but those are the cards that we've dealt ourselves.
But the industry does already pay a great deal.
I understand. And that's why we overburden business and weight mile to make up for the lack of a sales tax.
So, Ms. Jarvis, do you think that heavy trucks pay more than their share of the total state fuel taxes,
taxes? If you look at the cost allocation studies, Commissioner, you will see that those calculations are done on a fairly regular basis. And the last time I looked, trucking paid slightly more than light vehicles for the use of Oregon's roads.
Overall, you mean?
Overall, yes.
I thought that based on cost allocation methodology, the trucks were paying about 30% of the total weight mile and fuel taxes.
I'm happy to bring you the report that I took a look at. And I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but I know it was a little bit more for the trucking industry than in terms of share of the roads, their share of the roads.
Thank you all. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Next three are Mike Lake, Diane Diatra Tremont, and Lanny Gower.
Good afternoon. Who'd like
to go
first?
I'm Mike Lake. Okay. I'm with McCracken Motor Freight. I'm the fourth generation, and we've been around since 1927 as well. We're a Portland-based company. And it would be about a $6,000 hit for us. We have 40 drivers, and we paid approximately $189,000 in heavyweight taxes last year. It would be basically an extra burden for us, and we would be able to bring on another person and pay for part of their wages, and they would pay taxes to the state of Oregon. That's kind of how we look at it. Not that we're against repairing the roads, but we do maybe a quarter of our business on the city streets, the rest are on highways. We are in the industrial area, and literally we hop right on the highways, and that's where we usually are going. So our usage of inner city roads is very minimal to what we pay for the whole state of Oregon on a yearly basis.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Yes, please.
Sure, I can go. Diane Tiatramont, I'm president and an owner of Lyle International Companies. We're a trucking company that specializes in moving and storage, relocation for household goods, businesses, government entities, and the like. We have 9 locations in the Pacific Northwest, 5 of which are in Oregon. 1 serves the Portland metro area. The surcharge on the weight mile tax would cause us, we would not be subject to appeal because we do indeed operate in the city of Portland, but a small portion of our business is conducted here. I should not say a small portion, but a minor portion of the business. There would be no practicable way for us to determine what is Portland generated revenue or miles versus, you know, everything else that we do. So we would be opposed to that. Further, you know, it's just been a tough few years for companies like mine. Another tax is going to hurt us. There's no question about it. I have people that have not had raises for 18 months, and you know, we're watching every penny we spent. So hard to support this.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks very much. Welcome.
Morning, or good afternoon. My name is Lanny Gower. I'm with XPO Logistics, formerly Conway Freight. And our statistics as a company and what we pay in weight mile tax would mirror a lot of the people that have already spoke. So I won't go into the details other than to just reiterate. Most of our miles are run on very large trucks, which pay a high heavy vehicle use tax on state highways, going to California, going to Washington, going east. A very small number of our trucks are smaller trucks that distribute in smaller loads within the city. So the percentage of operations that we pay our weight mile tax in the city are very small compared to our overall. But that would meet a lot of things. I have heard many times today it mentioned that this is not a perfect tax. I'm the tax manager for XPO, and we pay taxes in every state, Canadian province, and every local jurisdiction in the United States. And there's nothing similar anywhere in North America to this. Most use taxes, you know, I've heard fair share mentioned more times than I could count. And most use taxes try to address fair share. And really, there's 2 parts of fair share. One is between the user groups, which this proposal actually totally ignores. It doesn't even try and address it, and it's easily addressed. Tie them together, and that part of fair share is addressed. But another part of fair share is between the users in a user group. And this proposal does absolutely nothing to try. I know nothing can be perfect, but this does not try to address it. Every mile run in the state of Oregon gets the same surcharge. And that doesn't attempt to address that issue. The fuel load fee was said to have been thrown out because much of the fuel delivered here in Portland goes outside of Portland. Everybody knows most of the miles run in Oregon are not run in Portland, yet there's no attempt to say that that doesn't make this fair also. So from our standpoint, this does not try and address that. A question was asked, what could make this more equitable or fairer? And the honest answer to that, at least from my experience, is it can't be done with a mileage tax at a city level unless or until the federal government required GPS on all heavy vehicles. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
The next three are Ron, I believe last name is Chown, Bill Frith, and David Brawlier.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is David Brawlier. I'm with Gordon Trucking. And good afternoon. Thanks for having us. I'm one of the big guys that's going to pay a disproportionate amount of money if this thing is elected. We ran $26,500,000 roughly last year in the state of Oregon. And while I don't have the exact calculation, I'm confident in saying that 99.95% of that was up and down the interstate, I-5, 84, 97, through the state of Oregon. You'll see our trucks out on Rivergate, you'll see our trucks delivering to local Home Depot, Lowe's stores. You won't see them plying the streets of Portland. They're 53 feet long. They just don't work. So we are a very large carrier with a very small footprint on city streets. This tax, based on our mileage, we paid $4.6 million to the state last year in weight mile tax. It's an additional $128,000. It's the equivalent of one Class 8 truck. It's equivalent of three entry-level positions. It's equivalent of just stifling our ability to grow and manage our fleets here. So we feel it is a tax that is not well-supported and a tax that really exerts an extreme burden on a carrier of size such as ours. Now, you may think we have huge revenue sources, and we do. We're a very large company. But we manage our pennies as well as anybody else. And this tax at $128,800, if it's just dollar for dollar, is unreasonable. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Excuse me. Ron Scholin, Stinger Transport, Prineville, Oregon. We run the West Coast for the most part. We run 53-foot trailers as well. 53-foot trailers are not allowed on the city streets, other than going in and out of shipping points and the truck stops and a couple of the main, like Marine Drive and that kind of stuff. I heard somebody say something about $15 a month, and I don't know where that number even could have come from. Our expense, based on our weight mile tax that we pay, it would cost me about $2,400 a year for less than 10% of my business volume. If this passes, then either our Portland-based customers will have to increase their rates to cover that, or we just won't haul for them anymore. It just won't be worth it for us to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome.
Bill Frith, Commercial Trailer Leasing, Commercial Employers here in Portland. We are a 51-year family-owned business, employ 30 people. Our primary business is leasing dry van trailers. We don't haul freight, we just deliver trailers. And we are located where I-84 and I-5 meet because two-thirds of our customers are located outside of Portland. Madras, Brightwood, Salem, Astoria, that sort of thing. Originally we did not pay the weight mile tax because we were not a trucking operation. We were contacted by ODOT a number of years ago. And we were simply told it wasn't much of a tax. We need to be included, even though what we're delivering. I think somebody mentioned earlier that the weight mile tax was the delivering of a product by a truck. Our product is air, because they are storage trailers. They sit in yards. We've been paying that tax. It wasn't supposed to be much. It has increased. Our weight mile tax has increased 764% in the last 6 years. So it didn't seem like a big tax when it started out, and now it's, of course, snowballing, and we have a fear about this as well. Our concern is that because most of our customers are outside of Portland, we're paying a tax on roads we're not using. Again, we're using I-84 and I-5 to get to our customers. We don't have downtown city street exposure. Our trailers are not loaded. Number two, this would impact our business health, just like the other testimony you've been hearing today. It's a duplication tax. We're already paying a tax for on the weight mile tax, and this is tacked on top of what we're already paying for road usage that we're not doing. Number three, this is a boiling of the frog, we feel, because it starts out small, and our concern is that it's just going to continue to snowball and snowball. This impacts our ability in a very competitive environment where the cost of trailers has doubled and tripled for us in the last 10 years, yet our rental rates have stayed the same or inched up. We want to add jobs. We want to grow our business and help the tax base. And so these paper cuts are impacting our ability to thrive. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I don't understand the mechanics of why your weight mile burden has gone up so much.
When I look at the taxes we paid, going back to 2009 when we started paying, it was just a few hundred dollars, and now it's a few thousand. Our operation is basically picking up and delivering dry van trailers to those that don't have tractors themselves. And so if you just look at the pure tax we've been paying over the years, it's gone from a few hundred to a few thousand.
Okay, but the rate hasn't increased that much. So,
well, I guess the point is that we were exempt from it originally until ODOT tried to include us into this deal.
Oh, so I see. All right.
The rationale is, even though you're not delivering the product, and I can't remember who made the testimony earlier, they said that the weight mile tax was for those who deliver a product by truck. Our product is air. We're delivering a trailer, an empty trailer, picking up, dropping off. For those that do not have tractors,
they reclassified that. So
they reclassified it to include us in that, and so this non-issue is now becoming a very significant issue, which impacts the salary and benefits of our employees. So that's why we're concerned.
Good. Thank you.
Question.
Appreciate that clarification.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you all. Okay, let's take the next group.
Are Jim Johnson, Jeff Lorenzini, and Greg Galbraith.
Welcome. Go ahead if you're ready.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for having us, and thank you for the service you do to the city. My name is Greg Galbraith. I'm representing Market Transport Limited. We're a full truckload carrier based in the city of Portland, and we've been in business in the city since 1969. And in the interest of time, frankly, some of my remarks and comments are very consistent with what we've already heard this afternoon. And listen, I know the world isn't always fair, and it's not easy to come up with fair practices, but when I look at this ordinance, fairness and equity comes to mind. And again, we're one of those players where we're based in the city. We employ about a little over 400 folks in the state of Oregon, and we paid about $1.2 million in Oregon weight mile taxes, so this would be about a $33,000 additional tax. And the issue isn't about whether we should have to pay it or not. Listen, we are very much in support of safety practices, improving our roads. So the things that come to mind for me, Commissioner Salzman, your comment about, listen, if the light vehicle tax does not pass in our minds, the fairness is really called into question. The heavy-duty trucks are going to be paying a lot more than their fair share, so zero versus we're doing roughly 13% of the road usage. Again, like some of the other folks that spoke before me, we are largely an interstate provider. We are based in the city, but most of our usage is just getting to and from the freeway. We're based right off Interstate 5. So, when you look at usage, while I again, just became aware of this ordinance on Monday as well. I haven't done a lot of homework yet, but I would be quite certain that if we looked at our technology and we have the ability to do some of that, we're not doing a lot of city driving. It's mostly interstates and getting to and from. So I would just ask you to consider that as, comments from us. Thank you.
I wanted to say something about that, which is that the state assumes that heavy trucks should bear 30% of the cost responsibility. And we went to Eco Northwest and asked, should we ask the heavy trucks to pay 30% of the cost responsibility in Portland? And they said, no, because we think they spend a bunch of their time on interstate roads or state roads. Right. So they reduced it to 13%. Another comment I want to make is we are asking the people of Portland to pay a 10-cent gas tax when the state gas tax is 30 cents. So we're asking the people of Portland to increase their contribution to street repair and traffic safety by 30%, whereas we're asking truckers to increase their contribution by 2.8%. So I think actually that probably some Portland drivers would think that we're letting the trucks off too easy. And we have a rationale for what we're doing, but I just wanted to point out that perspective.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. And let's let the people tell us, okay? I mean, that's Commissioner Salzman, I agree with your comment earlier. And one last thing I should have mentioned earlier, and again, I don't know statistics, but, I've heard that dollars have been moved out of transportation for other uses, and let's, let's make sure that these dollars are actually going to go to repairing roads that are generated about being safe. Thank you.
Hope you say hello to your now retired colleague and my friend Bill Maris. Good guy.
Superman. Thank you.
Yeah. To your point about dollars being moved out of transportation, that's another clarification. People need to remember the history. I guess I'm kind of the history buff around here, but again, remember we passed Measure 5 in 1990, being told by some pundits that that would lead to the passage of a sales tax that would fund public services like schools in Oregon. That hasn't worked out in 26 years. But the city has traditionally collected a utility franchise fee from the public utilities, the PGE and the gas company, all those folks. And it used to be that the city put those funds primarily into the streets. But after the passage of Measure 5, previous city councils, for understandable reasons, shifted those funds to pay for the core city services of police, fire, and parks, because that's what the general fund pays for.
Actually, Mayor, I have to correct you there. The collapse in the amount of utility license fee that went to transportation started and accelerated in the late 80s.
Right.
And I've asked, not after the passage of Measure 5, which is in 1990, and I've asked Irv Lubenauer to give me an explanation for that, and he doesn't really have one.
He wasn't here in the late 80s either.
Well, yes, he was.
Was he here in the late 80s?
I think the more salient point is that the money now goes to police, fire, parks, and housing,
yeah.
And nobody ever comes in here asking us to cut police, fire, parks, and housing in order to put money into transportation.
Yeah, so that's the problem we face, is that there used to be a source way long ago before us that was funneled into that purpose, and those days are gone.
Actually, I think the budget office will tell you they only did it for 2 years.
The utility
license fee,
yeah.
Right? That was supposed to be, it was looking at the gas tax was already starting to fall off, costs were rising, and so that was something that they tried in which they could.
That's why we have to check on history, because I don't always get it right.
And that's why we have a city budget office to tell us. But I think that, to your point, and to Commissioner Novick's, no, there isn't a whole bucket full of money. But if you think there is, we have our next budget hearing coming right up next Thursday evening. Come and find us the bucket, because we're more than happy to dig into it if you can find it.
Yeah, and to be more precise, we have over the last few years been putting some amount of general fund into transportation, including when we had a really big surplus year, we put a lot of it into transportation. And even this year, I'm still proposing that we put about $5 million of the general fund into transportation, into paving, repairs, safety improvements. So we are, with the dollars we have, we're putting what we can into the streets. Again, understanding that the federal government hasn't increased the gas tax since 1993. And the state, I think, the most recent increase there in both the weight mile tax and the gas tax was 2006, I believe. Thank you. Sorry, you got us off. I got myself off on a tangent, but thank you. Welcome.
Hello, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you very much for hearing us. My name is Jeff Lorenzini. I represent Old Dominion Freight Line. We've been in Portland for 12 years now. If you drive down MLK and know where the Portland Speedway was, you'll see our new facility there. We have a very significant investment
in Portland. And I'm a Portland native. I'm a former vice chair of a school board. So on a smaller scale, I can really appreciate the challenge that you have with limited funding and lots of things to do. I'll be brief just to summarize a lot of the points brought up by my peers. Our company is a very large company. I have very many drivers and trucks based in Portland, but for the most part, the minority of their time on the streets is actually spent in the city of Portland. We built our terminal where we were